How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points full of them.
I like cheese.
We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Celebrate good Obama, come on! It's Obama, Obama.
Okay. I'm trying to take an antacid right now. Hang on, everybody. Talk to yourselves. Hang on. We played that song for a reason. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We've been on a kind of on-again, off-again broadcast live schedule, but thank you for tuning in. I'm going to tell you why we played that song here in a little bit. Another Obongo did something funny this morning that just is, I don't know if he did it on purpose or what, but it's going to irritate patriots and Americans everywhere.
Woo, Obama!
Everybody loves Obama. And well, nobody in this room loves Obama. Yeah. But we are back. This is Dutch Jones. I'm the real deal. Actually, I'm not real. It's a made-up name, and I don't really exist. I mean, but I exist, and Lewis exists, Stacy and Debbie exist, and we do this show Monday through Friday when we can. Things are good. Those that have been sending us emails about Ted, he's out of the hospital, and he does still need your prayers. They weren't able to do the triple bypass surgery because his heart was too weak, so they put in three stents. And he still needs your prayers. He's just a miracle needs to be done that his heart can be made strong so that he can do it. We found out it was his fifth heart attack. He doesn't complain much. All of them were real, Lou. None of them were imaginary. I always tell Lou I've had five heart attacks, all but one imaginary, and he keeps hoping his grandpa's doing the same thing. Yeah, I had a heart attack a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
but in all seriousness, we need to pray for Ted, Stacy's dad, and Lewis's granddad.
I have heart attacks every day.
You do have heart attacks every day?
Yeah.
Made me strong. Made me what I am. He's an awesome guy. You know, he's 71 years old, lost his foot when he was like 8 or 9 years old in a farming accident, and has been working every day of his life, every single day of his life. The guy hates taking sick days. The whole time he was in the hospital for the week, he's like, I got to get out of here. I got
to
get out of here.
I got to go back to work.
I got to get back to work. He does not want to quit.
I think that's all he has.
That's, you know, it's sometimes, Stacy said that's all he has when you get to that age. Sometimes going to work every day is what keeps you alive, you know. He doesn't know the Lord. We need to pray for that. We gave him a Bible, and even the doctor, when he came out, said, we need to pray for this man. And I was like, cool, the doctor's a Christian. Usually you don't get a choice, you know, so because this was an emergency. It wasn't anybody he knew. His regular doctor and his surgeon were just, you know, who was ever on call that week. But so all those emails, thank you. We got a lot of emails asking about Ted, so I wanted to get that out of the way. We're getting ready for the conference here. We've added an awesome speaker, and I keep messing up his name, Steve Klein.
Yay,
if you go to YouTube and type in Steve Klein, K-L-I-E-N, I think is how it's spelled. Am I spelling that right? Or if you go to my Facebook and you look at my postings, you'll see this guy is a venomous anti-Islamo. I don't even know what the word you would use. This guy is studied.
Is
the Nation of Islam, the whole thing. He hates Muslims, but he backs it up with knowledge. He even has a definition for mosque that I'd never heard before. It basically means outhouse in the Arabic languages, and it's pretty interesting. So we've added him to the schedule. I'm going to be taking part in like three things. This is going to be cool. I'm going to be helping with the range master. The range master for our shooting demonstration, which Lou is taking part in. It's going to be a pistol demonstration standard response to attacks from the side and the rear, and then non-standard response to multiple aggressors. And we're going to demonstrate it to you. It's not a class. We're not going to let you guys shoot. I've had people say, what should I bring? No, you're going to watch. If you stick around Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you work that into your little schedule, we'll show it to you. And you know, if you bring a pistol or For us, you'll have to pay for ammo, because I'm running out of ammo, but if you show up with some 45 ammo, I'll let you shoot my pistol. I don't think Stacy's going to let anybody shoot her. She's still too new.
No.
She's like, no, my pistol. But I'm going to be the range master for that, calling out. We'll have 6 or 7 people. It'll be, I'm a little proud here. Lou's going to be one of the demonstrators. It'll be Lou, Pastor, two unnamed folks from our church that are incognito, Pastor Weaver and his wife are going to be doing the demonstration. Then we're going to have some other demonstrations, you know, on pistol defense and offense. And then after that, immediately following that, I'll give a really quick presentation of the importance of disaster preparedness, how all churches should be involved in this, all militias should be involved in preparing the body of their church, the church family, however, whatever term you want to use for disaster preparedness. And then Lou and I have prepared a video. Right now it's about 6 minutes long, and it's a militia recruiting video. And what we'll do is we're going to show it, I don't even know what time during the 2 days, but it's going to be like in between speakers where we switch mics and everything. And it's going to, I'm hoping it motivates people. I'm hoping people say, hey, can I get a copy of that and take it back to my church? Because it's going to be about the Christian militant attitude. And it's just a music video. It's not, you know, I'll have some quotes in it and stuff like that, but, you know, printed. But most of it's just going to be images of us training together over the past 4 years, because that's how long I've been here. So that's good. We did our training this weekend. Saturday we got ready for the conference. Everything's good to go. Right now, there's over 200 people registered. And that's a first in the 15 years of this conference. So there's still about 70 more positions full available. So if you want to get in, you better... in fact, I don't know if I... Let's see, do I have that? Yeah, I'm going to put it in the chat room right now where to go to download the flyer. What? The pews are full now. The back room with the screen, because we can only have 180 in the big in the chapel, and the rest are going to be in the other room. But we've got a big screen set up for you, closed circuit TV, and you'll still get to meet the people, because we're going to have booths set up, and the speakers are all going to maintain booths, and you'll be able to talk to Stacy, and she's going to sell you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bye.
We're gonna be selling military surplus and survival gear, first aid kits. Nothing. You're not gonna come there and get an AT-4 rocket launcher. We don't have the ability to do that. What? You gotta talk. No, don't say that. We don't sell AT-4 rocket launchers. Not now. After the balloon goes up and we're in full on war with whoever God chooses to be our enemy, then maybe we'll be able to do some swapping, trade eggs for AT-4s. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
So we're going to be selling some of our surplus stuff there. We just ordered more, and we're talking trinkets. You know, we try to get stuff that we know people can afford, compasses, first aid pouches, things like that. Stuff people can afford, stoves. I don't think we got anything really weird. Fire starters.
No.
Yeah. So we're going to be set up.
Useful.
So back in the fellowship hall, we'll have tables set up, and it'll be that. And remember that both days we provide spaghetti. Is it lasagna? Lasagna dinner, and the second day is salad.
Vice versa.
Anyway, but we're gonna have salad lasagna Friday night. For those people to get in early, we're gonna have spaghetti and a movie. For people coming in. So if you know you're gonna be on the road late, like I got a call from a guy today. Says I'm leaving at 9 a.m. from Los Angeles, but leaving on a Friday from Los Angeles at 9 a.m. is no guarantee. I mean, he's only 4.5 hours away. But if you get in late and you can't find anything after 9 o'clock here shuts down, right? Well, Friday night, maybe not. I don't know how late the couple restaurants stay open. But we will have spaghetti available for you guys, and we'll wait up till about midnight. But we'll be watching like Alvin York or Red Dawn or... I don't know if we'll watch Red Dawn, but we'll find some good patriotic... Johnny Freedom, Johnny Tremaine. You know, we can watch something like that. Fun for the whole family, and we'll provide a spaghetti dinner for you guys. Yeah, we did tacos last year, and it was
awesome.
It was really good. I really liked it. We went out and we bought about $80 worth of hamburger.
How many people were here for the last?
Maybe 60.
Yeah.
We fed like 60 people on Friday night, and it was pretty good. And and then everybody pitches in and helps clean and cook and stuff, because we got to make it like we were never there, because the church ladies come in the ladies of the church come in the next day, and they start preparing the lasagna first thing in the morning. It's gonna be hard, because you're sitting there smelling them cooking, and you're paying attention to the conference stuff that's going on and everything. So it's I don't know if you already haven't made the decision to come, because you can. I understand. If you're coming, you're gonna be in for a conference like you've never seen before. The collection of preachers that are going to be speaking here, the collection of people that are participating in it is amazing. We've got 8 or 9 states represented now. as far away as South North Carolina, Georgia. It's eight states now. And people coming from all over that are what?
Virginia.
What's the catchphrase? Like-minded Christians. You're going to have Calvinists, Armenians, all kinds of groups of people. It's going to be wonderful. And they're all going to be, I don't know what the word would be. We're all like on the edge of a precipice of something great about to happen. Maybe that's not the right mixed metaphor there. But we're all embarking on a journey here in the next few years. And building these ties. I mean, we've got about 50 people that have never even been to the church before. Never heard of us. And I like to think they heard of us through this radio show. But I'm sure a lot of them are because of Chuck Baldwin. Yeah. Chuck Baldwin's our keynote speaker, if there is such a thing, at one of these things. Everybody shares, you know, they all get, you know, the same billing. But it's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. And you're not going to want to miss it. And I say that because you don't have to miss it. Lou and I are going to make the, for a donation, we'll make the CDs and videos when we get them done available for, you know, you make a donation to this ministry, and we'll make copies available to you. That's going to be sometime down the line, though. We're going to, I think they're selling them for like $65 a set.
No, that's not for audio.
For video, I just said video. How much is the video?
I think 50.
And I think it's more than that.
No,
I think it's going to be like $80 for the video to get. Because how many? There's like 12 videos in the set.
Plus, and all the.
Because we got to edit it and put it all down and then mask. We've only got like three. We can make three at a time copies, I think, is what it is. But the pastor was saying it's going to be kind of expensive, but for people to buy them outright. So we'll wait a couple weeks after everybody from the conference buys them, and then we'll make them available for a donation to our listeners after that. That's been the tradition. Whoever videotapes gets to, you know, kind of sell them for whatever they want. I know that network that I used to be on, he made a living off of selling. I'm not going to say his name again because it leaves a terrible taste in my mouth. But that network I used to be on, he made a fortune off of the church's videos, I found out. He was selling them for like, you know, one copy, one episode, you know, 1 hour or 2 hours for like $25 for an hour's worth of videos. Yeah, and he got really mad at me because I was giving them away for donations because I want people to hear the truth.
Yeah.
I want people to find out what we're doing here because I told you, I'm being upfront about it. I'm trying to get you to be part of this cause. I'm trying to get you to at least come here and jump in the stream of thought that we're partaking in here at the church at Kuia outside the gates of Sequoia National Park in the belly button of California. And we want you to participate in it. My goal is to get you to come here and go, man, I can't believe this is California. We got a bunch of people living here that are like that. I'm moving my family here. You know, Chuck Baldwin's moving to Montana. A lot of people are talking about following him. We're going to stay right here. And we talked about this, and I'm going to go into it for my first half-hour monologue here. We brought this up in our Sunday training. You know, people said, well, this isn't perfect. This isn't a perfect place. Well, nowhere is perfect, but some places are more defensible. And we were talking about escape and evasion was the topic of our training this Sunday after we did some firearm stuff. But the classroom portion was escape and evasion. And the question came up, well, why did you choose this place? And I said, well, I chose it because it's got multiple water supplies. It's got a lot of wild game. It's got a lot of trees, a lot of cover, a lot of concealment. It's one road in, period. And the road going out, you'd need to have basically the best all-terrain vehicle you could find to get out. It's defendable. I talked about just location is everything. But, I mean, facing artillery or attack from the air, no place is that safe. I mean, even if you're in a cave, we learned that with Tora Bora, they're going to pound you into oblivion and cut off your oxygen. But all things being considered, for Central California, I can't think of a better place than this. However, I also have backup plans, escape to other states. And I didn't go into too much detail with that, but that's what we covered. We talked about having multiple routes out of your cities. We have a lot of people that live down in the valley that come to our church. And when I say city, I mean 100,000. Mm-hmm. Not like you folks that are trapped in the metropolises out there around the country. But I said, you've got to have multiple ways out. You've got to be creative. You've got to keep your eye on the ball and figure out when this stuff's coming down and get out before the crash. And so we talked about that, different ways to get around roadblocks, you know, through deception, not just navigating around, but maybe having some different public utilities uniforms, some public service uniforms at your disposal. You can go buy uniforms. And in that situation, who cares? You know, don't worry about, I'm going to get caught impersonating a fireman or a ranger or something. Your goal is to get your family out of Dodge. And you're worried about breaking the law when literally all hell is breaking loose around you. So that's what we talked about. I told people to get their their get out of Dodge bags ready, their bug out bags, whatever you want to call them. We went over that. We talked about communications, code words for your family members to know when you call them at work and you say, hey, your aunt Ziegfeld's coming to visit. You need to get home right away. So that way you don't alert anybody or alarm anybody and you just go. So we talked about that kind of stuff. It was well received. I mean, people had a lot of questions. You know, of course, the typical questions pop up like, well, don't use your GPS because they'll follow you. Yeah, I get that every class I teach. Well, no, I don't even talk about using GPS. Well, your cell phones, they can follow you in the chips. Well, if there's, you know, 300 million people running to the hills, what makes you think they're going to focus on you? All the technology they have in the world, the only way they're going to come after you is if you're causing them a lot of problems. So I wouldn't worry about those kind of things. Sometimes people focus on the downside so much. And the purpose of the classes that I teach up here are to empower people to realize that they can be in control of their own little world, but they've got to have courage. They've got to have courage. We got a pretty good group of guests in the chat room there. I'm appreciating that. I like that. I see Scotty38's in there, so we're being transmitted into the Finger Lake region of New York. Thank you, on Channel 2 on the CB. We got Graham242. Graham242, I can't remember where you said you were from. Last week I remember seeing you get in there. And, of course, Stacy's in there. Dutch's Redneck V.
No,
that's supposed to be wife, but it's too. You got to abbreviate it. You should take out, like, all the vowels. Make it into a license plate.
I don't know if I could change my name.
Oh, you don't know? Once you've registered. And I found out this weekend that a lot of people, you know, I've said in the past that people who go to church here don't listen to the show. I didn't realize there were, like, three people that go, oh, yeah, we listen all the time. I was like, but we don't sign in. We just guests. So if those guests there are members of the church, thank you so much for listening in. It kind of is the extended venue of my training here. And I like knowing, because sometimes it bothers me knowing that the people around me don't want to listen to the truth. They think everything's just going to be okay. They just bury their head in the sand. This could never happen. And then inversely, the other type that run off screaming into the woods, oh, it's no use, we're all going to die. We've got both ends of the spectrum here, just like every church, on every issue. We just happen to focus on the militant Christian worldview. We also focus on God's love and reaching the injured and doing the Lord's work that way. But we tend to focus on the reality of the fact. Oh, okay, he's from Liberty Tree Radio, one of Mark's friends. Well, welcome. Appreciate you coming in, Graham242. Hello. But you're going to get a different message here than you're going to get. We've got a guy, I won't use his name yet, he doesn't seem to be ashamed of us, but he's been coming up here like one or two weekends a month from his home church. And I said, well, how does your home church relate to you doing this? And he said, well, every time I come back, they're all like, what'd you learn up there? What are they doing up there? And other pastors and stuff are telling me, oh, those guys are a handful. They're a whole lot of trouble. And he just says, that's great. He told me last night he feels he's proud to be part of something great that's going on. So that's good. That's what we're looking for. And the Lord sends us people one at a time, sometimes a family at a time. Right now I'm actively working with some people from Southern California that are looking to relocate. We'd love to have them. I know I've got a good friend that I've built up online from Oklahoma that listens. And they're not in there right now. I don't think they're in there. They're pod people. And I can't wait to get them out here. They're definitely coming to the conference, and I'm going to do everything I can with the limited time that I have to sell what we're doing here to them and then let the Lord work on their hearts. I mean, I can only do so much. But my goal as a recruiter, my goal as outreach and trainer here just basically is just to put the information out, share with you what I can, and if it sticks in your heart, two good things can come of it. One is you come here and join us. Whether intermittent basis or a permanent basis, that's fine. Or two, because of the situations in the world today, you can't come here. But what you do is you plant a seed where you're living and you start doing it. We've had several people doing that over the last 3 years that have been listening to the Rebuilt show here. And they say, well, I can't come to California, but I'm telling you right here in Kansas, I've got three or four families together and we're doing it. Up here in Northern California, we have a group of people. They're all public safety employees, and they're doing their own thing. They started their own home church. I sent them a box, like a shoebox full of CDs and DVDs of stuff that's going on here, and they built their church studies around that.
I haven't heard nothing
from them. Now, every once in a while, they pop in. They're pod people because they work in prisons and in fire. They can't listen, you know. This time of the day is shift change. Yeah, well, we don't want to mention his name. Shh. Sorry, I'm taking a drink of water on the air there. Usually I turn it down. It suddenly got hot in here. I don't know if it's just because I'm a big, fat, sweaty guy or what, but I'm starting to sweat. But I promised you I was going to tell you why we played that little sound bite of the Obama song. Go ahead and play that again when he's Randy singing that.
Celebrate good Obama, come on! It's Obama, Obama.
That's, of course, is from South Park, and we use their sound bites when they're not nasty. And just the fanaticism that's behind him. Do you know what he did today? He was speaking before the, I don't know if it's Latino, Hispanic, brown people, whatever they call themselves, caucus, which is a racist organization. If we had a European caucus for Congress or European alliance or something, they wouldn't allow it to happen. And he was reading the Declaration of Independence, and he left out the term endowed by their creator. He left it out, completely out. He read it. It was on a teleprompter, of course, and he left out the term endowed by their creator. Now, I haven't got the preamble of anything memorized, to be honest with you. I have to look at it and read it. You know, I'm not a rocket surgeon, and I forget stuff when I speak. But this is the President of the United States, and he was using a teleprompter. He was reading the Declaration of Independence, and he left out endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. He just said that they are born with certain inalienable. Rights. And I was going to look for the soundbite, but trust me on this one. If you don't believe me, go look it up. All the other talking heads, you know, the Rhinos, you know, Rush Limbaugh and all those guys are jumping all over it. But the reason I mention it is right afterwards he went to church. And as far as I know, this is the first time he's been to church since he's been elected.
What kind of church?
We don't know. I was wondering if you guys knew. If you guys knew what kind of church he went to. I'm sure it was some... No, because he's worried about getting reelected, so now he's going to start going to church. But why would he deliberately throw God out of the Declaration of Independence, unless he's just trying to see how many people get torqued by it? Maybe it's they're chumming the water to see if people will... Because, you know, he can dismiss that, oh, it's just a mistake, leave me alone. But they don't do anything by mistake. The libtards do nothing by mistake. It's all planned and figured out, and they do it on purpose. So what's interesting to me is, you know, of course the media won't even talk about it. You won't see, you know, other than the typical cheerleaders for the Republican Party. The other thing that's in the news that everybody's jumping all over is whoever the Tea Party candidate was in, like, Delaware or some stupid place. It turns out that in high school she was a member of some witches. I can't think of her name. I don't even care because it doesn't matter to me. But they're jumping all over the fact that in high school I don't want a witch run it, but it's like, they're worried about what somebody did in high school playing Dungeons and Dragons or something, and we've got Obongo destroying the country.
But I'm not a big fan of
the Republican Party either. I mean, it's like I could care less about Palin. I could care less about all of them. I won't even go to a Tea Party. I mean, if they had a Tea Party down the street, I wouldn't even do a drive-by and throw water balloons because it's just not worth my time. It's a distraction. It's a waste of time. And that's what these things in the media are for. It's about distractions. It's about keeping your eye off of what they're really doing. It's like Fred always says, it's the monkey ringing the bell in the corner to keep you from seeing who's coming through the door, the guy that's picking your pocket.
Right.
You know, it's the old tactic that we were doing in Southern California. Somebody would come knock at your front door, and then their gangbanger buddy would come in the back door and steal your TV. And that's what they're doing.
Just like the whole Muslim mosque thing.
Well, yeah, the mosque thing, all of it. I mean, it's fun for us to talk about, and I do talk about it. But I give solutions, and the solutions I give are not what you're going to hear on national radio. They're all saying, let's write our congressman, let's just... No, go throw dead pigs all over everybody that's working on the site. Period.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that frustrates me. People, most of the email I get, and I get over 100 emails a day now, people are saying, what do we do, Dutch? What do I do? Put a big unconstitutional stamp on your income tax and send it in. And don't send them any money. You know, stop using big corporate banks. Use local banks. If you don't have a local bank, use your mattress. You know, don't buy into their system. It really bothers me when people talk about how terrible our life in America has become, but yet you find out they're working for their 401k.
Yeah.
They're buying into the system. They're all part of the system. If you can't exploit the system, you shouldn't be in it. And people say, well, it's easy for you to say. Well, it is, because I pulled out. I haven't paid taxes in over 5 years. When they send it to me, I just say, I don't owe you nothing, and I send it back. And they haven't come after me. One, because the amount that I owe would be so small, you know, they may wait 20 years, and then. But I'm hoping by then that all the couch potatoes get off their butts and rally around the holy cause of liberty, and we can stop this, stop what's going on. People don't like it. look what Chuck just asked for. Is that for the conference or what, Chuck? We don't know. Anyway, you take care of that through typing. So, Chuck, we don't know if you mean for the conference or to order stuff, if you're ordering stuff. If it's for the conference, just make it out to the church at Kaweah, TCAK, and they'll be able to cash it. Yeah, I can't read your mind, Chuck. No, I'm trying. Here, okay. I'm going to try and read Chuck in Oklahoma's mind. Oh, it's giving me a headache. Oklahoma's too far. There's a mountain range between us. If it weren't for two mountain ranges, yeah, for the conference, just make it out to the church at Kaweah. And you can send that in. The pastor's actually very excited about you coming. I told him that you had a desire to one day be a pastor, and he said he'd love to help you with that. Whether you stick around here or go back to Oklahoma, he can help you. Yep, right there. The church at Kaweah. Kaweah is a fun one to spell. It's Kaweah. It's kind of tricky. And that's a good reminder. If you guys want to make a donation to this cause, to the outreach here from the church, you can do it two ways. You can go straight to Liberty Tree Radio and just donate to them and say it's for Dutch, because we like to make sure they get some money, because they pick up our second hour. So you can go to libertytreeradio.4mg.com.
Yeah.
libertytreeradio.4mg.com. libertytreeradio.4mg.com. They have a pitch in there, and when it says for what or notes, just type in Dutch Jones, because this first hour is the, you know, us sitting around, you know, talking, and we get, you know, a couple hundred people that listen on podcast, and a few people that listen all over the place. I mean, the places this message is going always surprises me when I get emails. Yes, I'm calling from Iceland. And so do that, or you can donate directly to us. We still haven't paid for the soundboard and all that. We were trying to raise, what, $350? I think we raised $90-some, which was great. It better than nothing. But you can go to dutchjones.tk, that's DutchJones.tk. If you've already donated, don't bother. It's not fair that a few people carry the burden of this show. But we want the new folks, if you enjoy it, if you're downloading it, in fact, is Olima in there? Olima's not in there. So. She's going to have to download the replay. I wonder if Olima's okay. I just realized we're missing Olima. I feel bad now that I didn't notice it right away. Yeah, a lot of people are getting sick. A lot of people, I don't know if that's what I got. I don't know if that's why I'm sweating like a dog here and my back and neck hurt and aches. I finally got to sleep last night after about 6 days of insomnia. Oh, here we go. We're going to go to a song right now. We'll be back after the break. We'll talk a little bit more about what's going on in the world. I'll get some articles in the news. We'll be right back.
Now, have you ever stopped to wonder why the world's in such a mess? Why there's so much mindless mayhem on the TV and the press? Why so many busy businessmen are snapping from the stress? And the rest of us are jogging from depression. Has it ever once occurred to you or ever crossed your mind that the problems of this nation are created by design? That no matter what they tell you, there's another bottom line intertwined between the patterns of deception. Since our eyes were opened and our ears began to hear, they've been herding us like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on, and it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same mistake that claimed to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Yeah.
reason. It's the global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control our destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. The learned elders of Zion. Go ahead and wail at that wall.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new
world order.
Attention.
Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Woo-hoo! Oh, Mama, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hell, Mama! Hell, Mama!
Lou, you're starting to worry me. Oh, I love that. I love that. Anything we can do to slam the commander and chimp is fine by me. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live right now. It is, let me see if I can read this, September 20th, 2010. It is a Monday. If you're listening to this at another time, it doesn't really matter because the information is still valid. There's no born-on date for the truth. You know, you don't have to say, oh, well, that's a week-old show. I can't listen to it. People were complaining that I only did two shows last week. Well, we had issues. And you know what? When I do a remote, I just don't have the same energy that I do sitting in this little cave right here, looking out over our vast amount of Patriot-held property, and it's a different thing when I'm trapped in a little room down in the valley. I'm more worried about other stuff. But up here, I do a good show. And I always like to do the shows from up here. Hopefully we won't have to go down very often. But it was a family emergency if you're just joining us. Ted's doing great. If you missed the update, you can listen to the replay. I'm not going to go too much into the guy's personal medical history. But he's doing better. He needs your prayers. For him to get the surgeries that he needs to fix his heart, the bypass surgeries, he needs a healing. A miraculous healing, the doctor said. There's just no way it's going to work with medicine. So, more importantly, he needs to accept Jesus Christ. So, we need to pray that he reads that Bible we dropped off, and that when we are with him, that we not irritate, but we lift him up. That his heart be softened. That's the key thing there. I'm more worried about his eternal life than I am about his current life. Just that we have enough time. We're talking with Chuck, who's coming in to visit us during the conference from Oklahoma. He's asking how many hippies basically we have here. He's wondering if we got dreadlocks and those. We got two kinds of hippies here. We've got the dirty tree hugging hippies that live in a van down by the river. We do have those. The smelly patchouli oil, you know.
I can hear the
T-shirt. You can hear what?
Drum circle.
You can hear the drum circle still at night? Yeah, I can't hear it because we're on the other side of the house. But they've got drum circles. And then we have the power elite hippies who are San Francisco lawyers and Hollywood power brokers that live up here or have second and third homes up here that you can't tell by looking at them. But when you see their bumper stickers, you know, they've got the coexist bumper stickers. And yeah, we saw another one today. A lot of super rich people up here. That's why I said, you know, the hippies live in vans and mansions. There's like and they kind of get along. They'll have their little things together and stuff, but, I don't know. I have a feeling we'll be able to use them against one another. And the funny common thread that goes through them, they all hate us. They hate us up here. They call us that wacko militia, anti-government church. You try and educate them, they just don't get it. But then when you talk to them, they always go, well, if anything happens, we're going to be up there because we know you'll protect us. And I'm like, don't be too sure of that. I've told more than a couple young ladies when I was single up here that were talking to me, I don't really think you're going to be welcome. You know, it's going to be like Jesus said, I did not know you. You know, because they have this false sense that we're going to come, you know, running to their aid. You know, granted, if there's a bunch of marauders raping some hippie woman, yeah, I'm going to put bullets in their head from 300 yards away and then move on. You know, given that perfect scenario where I get to do that. But I'm not going to drag them back here and feed them and house them and give them clothes. I might throw a package of ramen and some fish hooks at him and said, go get your own. You know, but and that's what our plan is here. And we talked a little bit about that over the training. I'm going to get into the news now. I think I covered that. Let's see here. Where'd I go? Oh, this breaking news. I got good news for everybody. The recession is over. That's right. The recession is over. This from the AP. The title of this article actually is, "The Recession is Over!" Exclamation point. So where's the party? Even the press is getting a little sarcastic against Obongo, aren't they? It turned out the recession.
What are you, a McCain voter?
No, I voted for Chuck Baldwin. You guys can't hear. You didn't hear. He's playing sound bits in there. It turns out the recession ended more than a year ago. Who knew? Does that make you feel better? The panel that determines the timing of recessions concluded Monday that this one ended, technically anyway, in June 2009 and lasted 18 months. The duration makes it the longest since World War II. It may be over, but you won't be hearing any cheers from the millions of Americans who are struggling to find a job or worried about the ones they have. We can't take a call. Here, answer it and tell them we don't have it hooked up because we've got problems here. Just take it. Tell them we can't take a call. Lou's got to, like, function here. Every single one of the individuals who wrote the report needs a serious reality check. Said Bob Johnson of the Queens Boroughs, New York, who is 46. He's worked in communications and has been looking for a job more than 3 years. Not that it's the fault of the academics. In this case, the National Bureau of Economic Research. Don't you love that title? The National Bureau of Economic Research. What a cush job. Who was that?
Rocky.
Oh,
I think he's going to call baby.
Oh, okay. A group of economists based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, is where this is out of. Figures would be from Massachusetts. Sorry to bat fag, but it is just like here, a liberal bastion. It's their job to declare when recessions officially end and begin. What a job. Hello, we're here to tell you that everything's okay now. I mean, leading economic indicators to me is when you get an onion ring in your French fries when you're going through the drive-thru at Burger King.
Obama said things would be different!
Obama did say things would be different. The finding is one that economic historians spend a lot of time pondering. Politicians care, too. They don't want to be blamed for downturns that happen on their watch, which is funny because we all know that economic issues, issues of war, they have long periods of escalation. People take credit and take blame for things they had nothing to do with. It just proves one more layer that politics is all a scam. You know, this is Bush's fault. Oh, this is Reagan's fault. Oh, this is Carter's fault. It goes back much farther than that. The cyclical Keynesian economic cycles that we go through, they're all manufactured. It has nothing to do with who's president. It has to do with which power elites push which buttons. It goes back to the, what was his name, Lindsey Williams videos that we gave away. That was another thing that made the old other guy mad at the old network. I went, you're giving away Lindsey Williams videos. I sell those for like $50. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Moron.
They were weren't even his.
And they weren't even his. He's stealing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were giving them away for donations, and he was selling them. One of those politicians is, guess who? President Barack Obama rang, who inherited the recession. See that? Inherited the recession. It began in December of 2007, according to this bureau. Now, Obama found little reason Monday to celebrate that it had officially ended, because it hasn't. The hole was so deep that a lot of people out there are still hurting. The president, whose Democratic Party faces a likely setback in the midterm elections, said at a town hall meeting sponsored by CNBC. It's all pre-planned. It's all pre-planned. They're just getting you ready for another menagerie that's going to take place here. Obama has made a point of noting small signs of progress to the economy, like him being able to take more vacations and fly his wife around the world for cheeseburgers. Would that be a sign that the economy is getting better? Which is growing slowly. Some Democrats have urged him to stop boasting about any progress at all for fear that it irks people who feel they aren't getting better and makes politicians seem out of touch. Well, no. Remember when everybody got mad when Bush didn't know how much a loaf of bread was? Bush Sr.? They're completely out of touch. Politicians are out of touch. The Kennedys are out of touch. Every regime that's ever been in office is out of touch, because they have to be to do the things that they do. If they had any modicum of conscience at all, they wouldn't be able to pull off what they're doing if they didn't believe that their way was the right way. And the only way they can believe that they are doing the right thing for all of us is if they're delusional and isolated.
They're nuts.
I felt like the heat... Okay, here, I got to start again here. For Melody Brooke, a 55-year-old marriage and family counselor in Louisville, Texas, of all places, named after you, Lou, it didn't feel in her household as if the recession ended 15 months ago. Her household finances were in shambles at the time. It felt like the heat of it for us, Brooke said. Now, I can tell you something. I went to Sonoma, California last month.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. The recession hasn't hit there.
No.
Those wine-swilling, cheese-eating libtards up there are living high off the hog. Oh,
yeah.
So most of America is still buying this outrageously priced wine from the wine country in California. They're still driving their Prowlers and their Mercedes-Benz and their fancy clothes and doing the $500 a plate fundraisers they were doing when we were there.
It was ridiculous.
So, it's a weapon. The recession is a focused weapon. If you don't believe that, you haven't been paying attention. Now, her outlook, back to this article here about Brookie, Melody Brookie, her outlook is starting to brighten. Her husband finally found a full-time job about a month ago, and Brooke's counseling business is picking up. Of course it is. Everybody's wanting to get divorced over financial reasons. Remember, she's a family and marriage counselor. She's on track to make about $35,000 this year, which I think is below the poverty level if you have four kids, isn't it? For the rest of the country, the statistics are familiar and grim. Since the recession began, 7.3 million jobs have disappeared. That's a huge underestimation. Nearly 2.5 million homes have been repossessed. Unemployment is 9.6%, they're claiming. In the county I'm in, they admit to a 17% unemployment rate in Tulare County. They admit to it, which means it's probably twice that. You can't find a job anywhere. Every place is taking applications. Nobody's hiring. Since the technical end of the recession, the economy has been growing, but the growth has been painfully slow. How slow, you ask? Well, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development figures the U.S. economy will grow at 2.6% this year. It would take growth twice that rate to drive down unemployment by a single percentage point. So you need to have like 5% increase every year to keep unemployment at bay. They've got this all worked out. It's all finely tuned. And then you guys know the lie about unemployment. They're only counting the people that go down to the county office and go, give me some money, I'm out of work. And then you get it for so many weeks. Help me out, guys, in the chat room. I don't know how many weeks you get it for. I've never gotten it. And I'm not judging people who do. I say if you're eligible for it, go get it, take it, steal it, take it back. They stole it from you, take it back. I don't care if it's food stamps, welfare, whatever. You get your money back. Last time I paid taxes over 5 years ago, I had to write an additional $10,000 check to the IRS. So if you can get $10,000 out of them, it makes me feel better knowing it goes to a patriot. But for the past few recessions, it's taken longer and longer for unemployment to come down. In 1982, for example, unemployment peaked the same month the recession ended. After 2001's recession, the gap was 19 months. This time around, it's been about 15 months. The economists don't expect unemployment to come down significantly anytime soon. It's going to get worse. It's like Lindsey Williams was saying. The only thing that's been staying down is gasoline prices. And you know why? Because when gasoline got up to $4.25 a gallon here, people started to kill gasoline purveyors.
Mm-hmm.
People started calling for heads to roll. gasoline, for some reason, it's like, I don't know what it is, but people, you raise the price on their gasoline, then they get militant. So they keep that as a vent. It's like a steam vent. You know, it's like in a big factory. Keeping gas prices low is a venting a mechanism to keep your anger, the anger quotient low. Now, in part, that's because how the unemployment rate is calculated, and we're going to get into it. It's based on a survey of households. Only out-of-work people who are looking for jobs are counted as unemployed. Those who have quit looking out of discouragement aren't included. As the economy improves, many of those people will start looking for jobs and will be counted again as unemployed. That will drive up the unemployment rate, at least for a while. Can you imagine what's going to happen when, you know, it doubles? You know, and they go, oh, it's 18% nationwide. And I think that's low. I don't know anybody who has a job. Of course, I live in a community when everybody's underemployed anyway. Now, the Bureau pointed out that a downturn in the economy anytime soon would now mark the start of a new recession. The last time that happened was 1981 and 1982. Wasn't that Reagan, when Reagan was in? Doesn't everybody love Reagan? So. Reagan economics? We had a recession under Reagan? I thought he was God. I thought everything was perfect under Ronald Reagan. Huh. Who knew? The last recession that lasted longer than this one was, well, something far worse than a recession, the Great Depression. See, I believe, you know, and I'm not an economist, I skipped those classes, I signed up for them and I just never showed up in college. I think we're in a depression. I really do. You know, the only thing short of it is mass exodus. If we get a big environmental thing like the Dust Bowl, we're going to see huge shifts of refugees across our country. And that's the only difference, I think, between us and the so-called Great Depression. Everybody I've talked to that lived through the Great Depression says there was nothing great about it. Yeah. So I don't know why they call it the Great Depression. It's like an oxymoronic title. It's like military intelligence. It should be Huge Depression or Terrible Depression or Deep, Dark, Gloomy Depression. But to call it a Great Depression, it just shows how you know, even then they're trying to put a spin on it in history. Like, everything was great. Everybody went camping. Like, you know. We were talking. There was a
great.
Well, like at the town hall meeting, there was a guy who got up and said, and he was from Oklahoma. He goes, my whole page just jumped. He said, we moved here in 1933 during the Great Depression, and you know, and people applauded. I'm like, yay! But back then, they were killing people from Oklahoma that came here. There were goon squads going around clubbing and beating and raping and pillaging people that came here. They were like what illegal aliens should be today. They didn't. The farms out here did not want the Okies to come here. Now the Okies, you know, hey, they're everywhere. You know, we got guys in our church that are descended from Okies. They were born here, but, you know, it's just funny to me. We're on the precipice of something nasty here, and they're doing everything they can to reclassify, re-educate, lie, swindle, twist, smoke and mirrors, anything they can. The recession's over, guys. Why are you guys so upset? Why aren't you guys out working? You know, pretty soon it's going to get to the point where people are going to say, wow, a lot of people are in the chat room. Sin City Militia. I can only imagine where that would be. I can think of three or four Sin Cities. It must be Las Vegas. Las Vegas would be number one. So welcome, Sin City Militia. I don't know if I said welcome to Minuteman. Welcome. Thank you, by the way, Minuteman, for taking care of our phone call situation today. I really do appreciate the efforts that you make in that part of our lives. It benefits us greatly. I won't go into it in any more detail, but I do appreciate it. Thank you. Quite a few people in there, and we appreciate that. So, yeah, what great people, huh? Yeah, all the sheep in America. Oh, the recession's over. You know what's going to happen? Why they're doing this? All those people that cleaned up their credit are now going to go, oh, the recession's over. I can go get a big screen TV. They want to sap more money out of you. Mm-hmm. They want to take more of your discretionary income now. They want to make you feel good about doing what? Mortgaging your house again, because the recession is over. thanks, Sin City Militia. Boy, I can't imagine being in a militia in southern Nevada. Oh, training days must just be... I hate it here in the summer when it's 110. Oh, man, you guys are tough. I know there's a San Diego militia that listens to the show, and they don't want me giving their name out, but I've seen their training. They go out in the desert out there on the border, and I've been on the border. You guys know I'm a Minuteman, and I take great pride in that. But I go down and come home. I can't imagine planning my entire survival doctrine on fighting in that climate. So kudos to the Sin City Militia. Thank you so much for being there. When Southern California finally fails, you'll be the front lines too. I say Southern California because you guys know my philosophy. California is many nations in one, and we're going to be our own nation here, hopefully. Hopefully we'll get Jefferson to extend a little south and a little east to our friends in Nevada. I think Nevada is a great state. If it weren't for the corruption that every state has and 120-degree heat, I'd probably want to live there. Isn't that where your mom's going? Was it Arizona or Nevada?
Chloride, Arizona.
Chloride, Arizona, but it's on the border, yeah.
She lives in Henderson, on the outskirts.
Right, right. Thanks, Minuteman. That would be most appreciated. And we do have cash to give you for those vests. We appreciate it. We got one fly in here that's just driving us nuts. So you keep hearing Stacy make noises. No, she's not swatting at me. She's, well, at least I hope not. She's trying to keep the flies off. It's like we got one fly holding out. We're getting to the end of summer here. When's the official end of summer? It's supposed to be cooling off. Today was nice, nice breeze.
Tomorrow.
Speaking of training, we don't have a training in October. We have a training in November, right? Does anybody have?
Next month is a camp out.
We are doing the training in October.
There,
I couldn't remember.
Was nothing. It said because of the conference.
Yeah, I thought we canceled it because of the conference.
Yeah,
so November, we got to check. We'll get back to you. Yeah. But our next training will be a weekend training, guys. And it's going to be a little cooler. October, it's going to be nice. And whatever month it is, whether it's October or November, and I'll let you know on a later date. I'm the training coordinator. And I don't have the schedule in front of me, and I can't find it on my computer.
September 23rd, summer ends. At 3:09 GMT time.
Yeah, Greenwich Mean Time, 3:09. So that's good. But we're going to have an outdoor two-week training. It's going to be on cover and concealment. So make sure you bring your camouflage. If you have ghillie suits, bring them. We have a lot of people that live and die by their five-color chocolate chip desert camouflage. Bring it up here. No, not that kind of chocolate chip. She's like, chocolate chip. Bring it up here, and we're going to put it to the test. We're going to do a little force-on-force, capture-the-flag stuff, and we're going to see. We'll have a little class in cover and concealment, and then we're going to apply it playing capture-the-flag. We may break out some airsoft to make you pay. If you're not too well concealed, I'll put a hickey on you with the airsoft. And you'll have an airsoft, too. The church has a couple airsofts that we can give. But we want to demonstrate the differences between concealment and cover, the importance of not being seen, as the Monty Python skit goes, the importance of discipline, the importance of blending into your environment and utilizing not just the store-bought Walmart camouflage. Oh, I'm not wearing it right now. I love Walmart camouflage. I forgot what it was called already. What's it called? What's the name on that shirt?
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that's a real tree, isn't it? Yeah. But we'll see. Because a lot of guys spend a lot of money on the military stuff. I personally love the British Marine, Dutch Marine camouflage that's out there. The DPM. That's what if I had my druthers, that's all I would own. But it doesn't always work up in here. So we're going to be doing that for the training. We'll be sleeping out. I don't know if we'll be in the playground or on the hillside. Depends, how the weather is and everything. But we desperately, desperately need to start doing a little more applied activity of what I'm teaching you. There will be a classroom again on Sunday after church. For those of you that just want the information but aren't capable or willing yet to go put boots on the ground. So you can come that Sunday, the third Sunday of the month. I'm sorry I don't have the date for you. I can't believe I don't have. I thought I brought the sheet. Lou, run down to the church and get the sheet off the bulletin board. We need to print up some more of those. But what we'll do is we'll rally on Saturday and do the training, and then on Sunday we'll do like a follow up and shame the people who didn't show up and tell them next time they better show up, because they're fun. The trainings are fun. They're entry level trainings that I do. Even though we've got guys that, like me, they've got 7 years active duty that come and they learn something from it. If only because you have an open mind and it reiterates things that you've forgotten. And I can think of no better way of doing it than actually going out and playing a good old-fashioned game of tag in the hillsides. I don't know. Chuck is saying that the Walmart camo is good, but what about the RFID tags they put in them now? We checked at our local Walmart and there's no evidence of RFID tags in them. And granted, because about the size that they are, it's still going to be hard for them to hide a rigid encapsulated transmitting device.
Microwave
them. So just microwave your shirt. Take your shirt, and Lou said it before I could get to it. Throw your shirt in the microwave for the dryer won't do it. Microwave your shirt for about 20 seconds.
I'd recommend wetting it down a little bit first, though.
Yeah, wet it down a little bit, and you will destroy the RFID tag. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that always comes up in all the trainings. What about RFID tags? Well, stick them in the microwave. I don't care if I get a little burn mark in my camouflage where the caps went, but at least you'll have evidence of it being there. And I highly recommend that. And but yeah, that's a good point because Walmart wants to put that all in there. What?
Couldn't you fill it in the clothes?
But that was my next point. You go along the seams, like in the collar, or on the bottom seam, or on the edge of the sleeves. I'm doing it here for those of you that are playing along at home. And buttons, anything like that, depending on if it's just a T-shirt, you just feel along until you find the capsule, and then just smash it with a hammer. Because that's what a lot of the firefighters are doing, and when they're getting their uniforms, I can only imagine that some of the military guys. Yeah, I did see that they did publish that they're going to start putting the RFID tags both for loss prevention and for inventory control and for just knowing, what people buy, especially if you're using a Walmart credit card or something. They'll know, hey, this guy just bought 16 pairs of bib overalls and camouflage. We really need to send you, a flyer saying that there's a sale in camouflage. That's what they're doing. They're saying it's all for marketing. What's the name of the WM camo? Oh, it's Nat Gear, NatGear, Nat Gear, or Nat Camo. It's a natural kind of thing. I'm trying to think of that's also the name of a router, isn't Nat Gear the name of a router?
Net Gear.
So it's Nat Gear. So yeah, I like it. I use it a lot on the high desert on the border, and that camouflage was really good. But you're right, it's got to be dead. But the same people that worry about that, they also carry their cell phones and are on it every 5 minutes. I love these people that are like, oh, man, I don't want to get RFID stuff in my boots or anything. What if they implant it in the heel and I never see it? Oh, just a minute, I got to take this call. If you're that attached to your cell phone, it doesn't matter what's in your uniform. And there's not a lot of people like that. But I remember being on the border, and we couldn't get some of our LPOP people to get off their stinking cell phones talking to their wives and kids or their girlfriends or boyfriends. It wasn't so much boyfriends. We didn't have a whole lot of single women down there or women that came down without their boyfriend. But you get the point. We come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some articles that I've seen in the paper the last couple hours. And we'll also be on Liberty Tree Radio, hopefully, if they've got they had some problems with their computer system. Hopefully they got it up. If not, they're free to play it on any time they want to. We'll be back right after the break.
It was he who braved the winter in the days of Valley Forge, fighting side by side together with a fella name of George. Started growing and the wagons headed west. When a country called for pioneers, his name led all the rest. What a figure in his rawhide coat and hat made of raccoon. Wonder what there was about him made you think of Dan O'Boone. Fixing for a tussle, it's his muscle all the way. If we need a handsome fella so the ladies' hearts can throb, there's a Yankee Doodle Dandy, always handy for the job.
Shadow underneath the trees. Goodness, how delicious!
peas, eating goober peas. Oh, goodness, how delicious, eating goober peas. Peas, 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 eating goober peas. Oh, goodness, how delicious, eating goober peas.
Just before the battle, the general hears a row. He says,
the Yanks are coming, I hear their rifles now.
He turns around in wonder, and what do you think he sees? The Georgia militia, eating goober peas.
We all love peas, 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 eating goober peas. Oh goodness, how delicious, eating goober peas. Peas, 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 eating goober peas. Oh goodness, how delicious, eating goober peas. We think our song has lasted almost long enough. The subject's interesting, but rhymes are mighty tough. We wish this war was over, and free from rags and fleas. We'll kiss our wives and sweethearts, and gobble goober peas. We all love peas, 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 eating goober peas. We'll all be goober grabbers, and gobble goober peas. Peas, 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 eating goober peas. We'll all be goober grabbers, and gobble goober.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel
in. Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Who let the Obama out?
We're not talking about Obama anymore, Lou. We stopped talking about Obama last hour. I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program brought to you from the little hamlet of Cahuilla, California, here outside the gates of Sequoia National Park in Central California. That's right. We're in the mountainous region of that sinful state of California. Not everyone here is a tree-hugging libtard. Some of us are patriotic, militant Christians, and we are fighting the good fight here on the front lines. And we like to share with you our militant Christian worldview. We have a hard seasoning of Confederate States of America as our background. Yes, there are redneck Southern flag-waving people here in Central California. I should say not all of us are rednecks. There are a lot of people that support the Confederacy here that aren't rednecks. I got to move my mic a little bit here. It drooped down a bit. Hang on. I don't want to make a big old, like, squeaky noise. Okay, there we go. But we come to you Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m., and we jump on board Liberty Tree Radio at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, and I see that Ed is in there, and we welcome our Liberty Tree Radio listeners to the forum here, and all the people listening on podcast, listening on Facebook right now. I haven't received any IMs from Facebook. I guess they all just jumped in on DutchJones.tk, MySpace. I understand we're going out over CB Channel 2 in the Finger Lakes region of New York. I love that, Finger Lakes. It just brings this image to my head that I can't really describe with words. We've also been told that we're on a couple baby monitors in some metropolis buildings where they want other people in the building to hear it. I think that's great, too. Because we're getting feeds from New Zealand that say they're picking it up on shortwave, we love that. So who knows where truth will go? It's nice knowing that I control the valve here on a very small part of a very major stream of thought, mm-hmm. and that we're adding to it, that we're dipping our toe in the water. And I am very happy to be on Liberty Tree Radio and reaching a whole another massive group of people there. And we welcome them to listening. I don't ever get into their chat room because it just takes up too much bandwidth. I apologize for that. If you want to get a question to us, we don't have a phone line right now. We've tried everything we can to hook this phone line into the new soundboard. It's just, you know, be careful what you ask for. We wanted a new soundboard. We went out and bought it, and now the phone won't work with it. It just, they don't like each other, old and new technology, so I got to figure out something. Big hammer. No, it's this box. It's this box. I need a special kind of hammer to make it work, but we don't know what it is. But just for the break, we were talking, strangely enough, as we often do, we don't stick to any one topic. Usually we're talking about camouflage, as our next training is going to be covering concealment, and we're going to play some really nice games of capture the flag. We have a real mixture of camouflage in our militia. We don't have a uniform. we don't demand that everybody go out and get all tigerflage or real tree or whatever. You know, we tell people, we don't want you to spend more money on the garb. We want you to spend more money on supplies, ammo and food and bandages. So we have a group of people that show up in a lot of different stuff. We've got guys showing up in chocolate chip desert. Bosnian stuff. We have even a few people still have that alpenflage with the really bright reds and stuff in it. Hey, if that's all you got. Hey, Freedom Warrior Oz in Australia. Welcome. Hey, thank you.
Albert Einstein was born in Australia.
No, Albert Einstein was born in Tasmania. If you watch Young Einstein, you would know that it was Tasmania. I love that movie. I love everything Australia. The only reason I'm not there is their gun control. I think if everything falls apart here, I may get in a tub in Rota, Tasmania. Okay, where were we anyway? But the camouflage, everybody will have different. And you'll see the video that we're working on now when it gets up on YouTube. You'll see everybody has different camouflage. I don't care if you show up in World War II Marine camouflage. That's fine. But it's got to work for the environment you're in. The other thing is we have a couple people that are well off. They didn't. Not only did they not hear the recession was over, they didn't know there was a recession. And God bless them for being shielded from that. But they've got some, you know, they got the 411 gear. They've got all that really good gear. And that's good if you can afford it. But my glasses are fogging up. Yeah, I took them off. I can't even see. But I do everything the Tom Sawyer way. I do whatever I can do to make things work. So I go and I buy BDUs used at a Christian store. King's Christian Academy store. Mm-hmm. You know, you pay $14 for a pair of pants. I put my own knee pads in them. I go buy a used sleeping bag or sleeping mat. I cut it up. Pop them in there. Now, I could go for $50 and buy a pair of pants and spend $8 on the inserts at 411 and do just as good. Yeah, sure, it doesn't look as pretty, but they work just as fine as when we're doing the training as the guy next to me that's got the expensive 411s. I'm not knocking him for buying it. Let him be the judge of his own finances.
511?
411. Are they 511s or 411?
511.
It's 511. See, I don't even know the name of it because I can't even walk in that store. We have a store here in Visalia that sells, you know, gear for the police and all that. So I make all my own stuff. I mean, if I don't buy it at a second-hand store, buy it military surplus, the stuff we sell on our website, I can't afford it. I'm going to be honest with you. Even though we get the wholesale price and we mark it up a few percentages to sell to you guys, we're on the razor's edge here, and I'll look at something and go, man, I'd really like to have that tactical vest, but I can't. Because the money's already being consumed for other things, like the light bill and all that kind of stuff, and the internet bandwidth fee of almost $90 a month. So we find ways to make it work. I've made my own protective vests. I've sewn them up. I've sewn pouches up, put steel in them. We're getting ready here. We're going to have some stuff available, hopefully, if we get some more money in. Minuteman got us onto a good line, and for our own militia guys, we're going to get some old, torn up, I don't even remember if they're Bosnian or what, but they're protective vests that need some work. We're going to redo the zippers, resew the pouches ourselves, and we got another guy, we're going to get the proper kind of steel, and we'll make our own vest, because nobody here can afford $500 for a level 3 vest. You've got to make do with what you've got, and we in the militia, more so than ever before in the history of this nation, I mean, probably Valley Forge is probably the only time it will be worse, given the economy the way it is now. If you're going to have gear, you've got to make do with what you got. And if that's Granddaddy's hunting rifle and a bunch of camouflage you bought from L.L. Bean 10 years ago and your wife has held it together and reinforced it and it still works, God bless you. God bless you. You know, you take to the battle what you can. You don't worry about buying what you can't afford. Sure, it's good to sit on the porcelain throne and look at that Cabela's catalog or what are some of the other ones? I can't think of the more expensive ones. Well, cheaper than dirt, sometimes too expensive for us. But it's good. If not for the blessing of having a wholesale license and being able to get stuff from Major Surplus here in California, we would have probably a third of what we do have. Usually what I do is I'll buy three of something, sell two to pay with the little bit of markup that we put on to pay for the third one. So, again, that's how Stacy got her tactical vest. We sold three vests, and one of them ended up being free because we covered our cost on it, you know, not counting our time. You got to get creative. You got to get wild. You got to get wacky. Don't turn down old World War II web gear. The old cotton stuff is much quieter than all the new Velcro and Molly gear stuff. It's British. Okay, yeah, Minuteman says those vests are British. Current Duster DPM. I love DPM. But you're not wearing your dress today. No, Stacy has a DPM skirt. You know, a floor-length skirt. She wore it to church Sunday. You going to wear it for the conference?
Yeah.
He has a DPM skirt that somebody had... It was a pair of pants that somebody had taken a slit out of, added more DPM material, and made a woman's skirt out of it. I'd wear it and call it a man battle kilt or something, but she won't let me wear it. Because we're about the same waist. But she won't let me wear it. I thought, you know, I could just hike it up and make it look like a kilt.
No.
Just staple it to my skin.
That was my wedding anniversary.
No, it was your anniversary present. But you don't want to share?
No, you got a scope.
Yeah, I got a scope. I did. But when you're looking for this uniform stuff, let's stay on that topic there. You're going to need at least two pairs, minimum of two pairs of gear, two pairs of gear, one to bug out in and one to change into, or one to give that guy that shows up with nothing, at least two. Do you understand what I'm saying? We keep to that philosophy with every line of gear. Optimally, we tell people to have three, but if all you can afford is two, have two. Because you may be able to help somebody else out, or you may need to change or replace something that's damaged or broken. And that goes with main battle rifles. If you can have two main battle rifles, I think you're ahead of the curve. Three is a little hard to do. I understand that in this economy, depending on where you live. Freedom Warrior Oz is saying, yeah, the modern tactical gear with all the Velcro is too noisy. Give me a set of H or Y suspenders and some old British, you know, clasp stuff that's, you know, it's very quiet. You're not going to have to worry about making a loud noise when you're going for your mag change. I thought that was funny. It's like when we do our training, you'll hear everybody doing tactical or emergency reloads, and the first thing you hear is the Velcro going. And I can do it here. Watch. Yeah, there's Velcro. That's my wristwatch. Lou's looking for Velcro now too. What do you got over there?
It's broken.
He's got, yeah, my watch. I've got it's got the cover over the watch, and I've got the military type still. But even that, the Velcro. Think how far that's going to carry. Oh, there's a baby deer out the window. Lou, here's my 45. Get dinner. Just kidding. Don't do it. Lou would do it. He likes fresh meat every day. He's giving me the eyeball. Lou, the deer. The deer, not me. Cannibalism is not an option yet. But
let's draw straws for it.
We'll draw straws, see which one of us gets eaten. But don't focus on getting the newest and nicest. Get an old pair of something and fix it. That's why I keep telling all you guys out there that don't know how to sew, shame on you. All you ladies who don't know how to sew, double shame on you. You should learn how to at least do basic repair and upkeep. Now,
I've tried.
Stacy says she's tried. I'll teach you more.
Good.
Yeah, I'll help you be able to. You can, because if you can sew up a pair of pants, you can sew up a gash in my thigh. So it's important that you learn. And it's funny because every once in a while you'll see older gear pop up and it'll be really cheap and people kind of poo-poo it. I mean, other than the Alpenflies, which I don't think would only work here for like 2 weeks in the fall. I'm looking out the window right now and I'm seeing some reds because we have got these plants called red buds that grow on the mountainside across from our church. But the rest of it's yellow grass and really super green oaks. It's a unique kind of camouflage and that's why... the stuff that's made for hunting is more applicable here. But I got to bring something up. People hate it when I do this. However, you must be aware, whether you're in a regulated or unregulated militia, if you're wearing an irregular uniform, you don't have a unit insignia, you don't have some kind of armband or unit designator and also a chain of command, if captured, you can just be shot as a marauder. Because they're like, well, you're just wearing you know, some kind of camouflage you got at Walmart. So... If you can't get uniformity in your uniforms, come up with a unit patch or a sash. Remember in the book Patriot, some of them wore a green sash. Come up with something that designates you as a unit. Let it be tactically wise. Don't get it like a bright pink armband, you know, or engineer tape flying off of your belt loops or something. You know, bright orange, you know, day-glow orange. But remember that. I mean, and a lot of people don't like hearing that because, oh, I don't have to obey the Geneva Convention. It's good. Okay, if it saves your life, it saves your life. If you're wounded on the battlefield and they come up on you and it's UN troops, they're probably going to kill you anyway. Okay? And I know that's the reality. I'm not Pollyanna here. But let's say you do engage somebody that has a modicum of battlefield, chivalry. And he may say, hey, this guy's obviously got a unit patch. This guy's, you know, part of something. He's got chain of command. Let's treat him under the rules of the UN. Or, excuse me, of the Geneva Convention. I don't want to be treated anything under the UN. But just something I'm throwing out there. It's not to be debated. It's just to let you guys know that under the rules of war, that's there. You have to have a unit designation, a chain of command, and you're required to do the, you know, the thing in the movie, name, rank, and serial number. That's it. You know, that's all you're supposed to do. But, and you think about it, throughout history, a lot of guerrillas, like, let's pick Kampuchea, Cambodia, for those of you with a public education. The Khmer Rouge, they all wore red bandanas. Not very tactical, but yet you knew who the enemy was, right? Viet Cong, black pajamas, you know, sandals, if at all, made out of rubber tread off a car, off a Jeep, and then those big bushy hats. Now, granted, other Vietnamese people all had those too, but at least you knew. You know, that was a state that had the LBE on or something. You know, that's Viet Cong. And without enraging the Vietnam vets in the listening audience, they did a pretty good job with just a bunch of pajamas and sandals, didn't they?
You're going to get a phone call now.
I know we're going to get hate mail. Look at what's going on or what was going on in Iraq because everything's peaceful there now. We won the war and everything's okay. Iraq's been restored. But look at the different groups over there. You know, simple something as a headband. You know, look at Hamas, green headband, green sash. But if you're going to be doing, which I don't want to be involved in any urban combat, any city combat, I don't want to be near it, I don't want to be around it. I know militias here in California, God bless them, they wear like Gestapo uniforms, not literally with the SS, but black BDUs, black boots, black face mask with a black helmet. I'm like, well, okay. That's good if it's in the middle of December and you're fighting in a climate-controlled apartment building and you want to look like SWAT.
Well,
but what happens if your people get pushed out into the desert? What if you're out if you get pushed up Cajon Pass and you're out in Death Valley? Well, this is what we thought would be good for urban fighting. Black stands out like a sore thumb. I've never understood. You know, I know SWAT teams and stuff like to use it because it has like a Gestapo feel for it. At night, black even shows up. I'm sorry to tell you. I've done enough operations after dark, and black shows up. I mean, only on the darkest, deepest, blackest night in a shadow will it blend in. And we've proven it here on the property and up in the hillsides behind us. And people will hide in the shadow of a rock, and they still show up. You know, I'll be wearing all black, going, hee, 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 I got all black. I like what Sin City Militia just said. If you're in Sin City, you will die hot. That's pretty much a guarantee. Doesn't matter if it's December. Doesn't matter. It's still going to be hot. But you've got to adapt. I'm a big fan of ghillie suits. How I've got outrageous ghillie suits where I look like a 5'7" tall baby Yeti. And then I've got other ones that are just the basics, the base, like a good soup. It's just a base. And you augment it with the natural surrounding plants and whatever debris you can find in that area, depending on where you're at. Now, my full-on ghillie suit, it's made with jute, it's made with rags, it's made with everything, and that one is for, you know, if I have to cross an open plain or sit up on a location for a long period of time, that's what I would use. But I can also wear a uniform that's been modified by sewing a few elastic bands into it, by working some jute into it that I can tie to shrubs and branches, and there's no problem with doing that. It's not going to look good when you're just standing around. What does somebody pull up? Remember, it's deer season. We could have deer hunters everywhere.
Oh, that jute at grocery outlet.
Yeah, we went into like a discount grocery store, and they're selling Halloween stuff. They had like a 5 foot long by 3 foot wide jute net for $8.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like the tightly wind jute that you go buy at Michael's or a hobby shop, and you start your whole thing with, or like a fishnet. Those of you that have made ghillie suits, you start out with like a fishnet that they sell at craft stores. This was really thick, really frayed, but strong jute. And be on the lookout for that if they're selling it, because it was like in a prepackaged Halloween. It was to make like a spider web. You put a big styrofoam spider on it and scare everybody, you know, woohoo. But it would be a great start for like a drape or a cloak. That's another thing. You don't have to make a ghillie suit, but you can make, you know, like all good superheroes should have, a cape. They can be taken off and put on when you need it.
Like in the Ultimate Sniper.
Did they have those in Ultimate Sniper? I can't remember that whole video. Like the Germans did it. If you watched Enemy at the Gates, instead of a ghillie suit, they had more of a cloak type setup.
Yeah, German Sniper video.
The German Sniper video was awesome. It was funny. They were killing Bolsheviks, so I didn't feel so bad about watching it. But camouflage is everything. Now, with that said, what if you're working in an urban environment? You walking around in a ghillie suit is going to get you shot. But you walking around in a telephone repairman uniform might get you by, might get you to where you need to be, right? So camouflage depends on where you're standing. Camouflage depends on who's looking at you. So don't turn down that old gear. Don't turn down a set of Biv overalls that are a good color as a good base to make something with. You don't have to go out and spend a fortune on... it's funny, as everybody loved the Tiger Stripe stuff that worked in Vietnam. I've even got some Tiger Stripe stuff still. But that doesn't work everywhere. It's great in pine environments, pine trees, you know, higher mountain areas. Right here, we're in a deciduous, we're at 1,000 feet. Broadleaf. I don't mean to use big words. I know it offends the people in California when I say things like deciduous. But we've got oak trees with, you know, tiny leaves to big leaves. We've got elms and all that. A few pine trees popping around. But you're going to need to have a specific kind of camouflage for this area. But what if you get pushed out of it? Are you going to be able to modify? So you need to study where you're going and what you can do to augment the camouflage that you have. Spray paint. And you don't have to... It's funny. Whenever you buy camouflage spray paint, if it says camouflage on it, it's three times the price. But if you go to Walmart and you just buy flat browns, flat tans, flat OD green, that's all you need. You can take a regular pair of overalls that are gray and camouflage them. Now, granted, if they're using dogs, you're going to smell the paint, but maybe that'll cover up the smell.
Careful. Did I just run over?
I don't.
Oh. Maybe it wasn't a cord.
No, I see. No, toothbrush?
Maybe a cleaning toothbrush that fell on the floor.
But spray paint's a good way. What about your vehicle? Okay, let's say the balloon goes up and you're stuck in town and you've got a yellow Dodge Neon that you've been driving since college and you want to take it across, you know, an open area and not be seen. Well, you got a case full of tan and brown and black paint or whatever is in your environment there. I've actually seen somebody do this. They, on the border, they had an old, I don't know if it was a Dodge Neo or not, but yeah, beep, beep. It was like a Metro or something, some little Suzuki thing. And he didn't have spray paint, but what he did is he went out and got epoxy spray. He masked all the windows out, and he sprayed the whole car with this epoxy glue. And then like five guys threw dirt at his car for about 20 minutes from the area and brush and everything else. Complete. I mean, he parked this car in some shrubs 20 feet away, and only because of the windshield would it be found. So then what he did is he put burlap across his windshield with slits in it. This guy could drive through the terrain along the border. I'm not giving too much away here. And not be seen at all. Once he covered up the chrome and everything, but just epoxy and dirt.
people are going, oh, he's ruining the car. He says, I got another one. You know, this one's got 300,000 miles on it. I'm going to leave it here on the border, drive my car down here, park it in a safe area, and then walk out to the border, you know, and hook up with you guys. So it was great. Spray paint, epoxy, burlap rolls, and a lot of this stuff's cheap, and it's good to have on hand. I like it. Necessity is the mother of invention. This same guy, the car before he camouflaged it had a big old rock put through the windshield. So that was his motivation. He didn't want them to see it again. You know, they pitch these, you know, softball-sized rocks over the border when you patrol the fence. One, I don't drive that close to the fence, but it was a lesson learned for him. But it's a great way to camouflage a vehicle. Epoxy. And the stuff's cheap, the tacky stuff, dirt. You know, you don't need, you know, it if your car's already an earth tone or something, but base it on there. You want to shield your engine heat from the sky? Put a couple space blankets underneath your hood and hook them in there. You know, granted, it's not going to work when your engine's full on hot, but while it's cooling in the hills and the trees. Camouflage is essential. Camouflage is probably more critical to survival than most of the other skills that you're going to work on, but it's probably the most neglected of every militia I've ever been involved in. And you look throughout history, deception through camouflage has been winners, have been key issues in why we win wars. They made an entire inflatable armor division for Patton to command in England to draw attention away from the Normandy invasion. Inflatable tanks, inflatable trucks, the whole deal. Aircraft that could be moved by two guys that were made out of balsa wood. So deception and camouflage go hand in hand. It's a type of camouflage. If you want to make yourself look completely unoffensive, maybe it does make sense to dress like, you know, just a regular repair guy or something. So that you can get in and out of where you need to go monkey wrench what you need to monkey wrench. But as far as just full-on frontline militia type stuff, don't turn your nose up at that pair of gray overalls that you can see at the secondhand store for, you know, $10. It could be the start of something wonderful. Plus, there's something really cathartic about sitting in front of the TV watching training videos and sewing up your own ghillie suit. I love it. It's like therapy for me. I love doing it, and I recommend it highly. You know, if your wife doesn't like having jute stuck all over the couch, you may have to do it in the garage. Oh, there's the break. We're going to be back after the break. Hopefully you're learning something. If you like what you're hearing, tell more people about the show. We'll be back after the break.
Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
believe me, if I started murdering people, there'd be none of you left.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out on all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention.
Attention.
Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Sir, I have not begun to project my anger onto you.
That's got to be Mr. Hill, right, Lou? Is that Mr. Hill?
Yes.
He won't talk except for the sound.
Hill residents.
During the break, you played what sounded like George Bush saying, "I have not yet begun to kill people," or something like that. That wasn't George Bush. That was Charlie Manson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds like George Bush. Isn't that amazing how much Charlie Manson sounds like George Bush, you know, the second, the junior, the lesser? Well, folks, we heard that...
If I started murdering people, there'd be none of you left.
It sounds like George Bush on a cocaine bender. Don't play the commercial again. Yeah, it sounds like George Bush on a cocaine bender. Just like, wow, I never realized the similarities. Maybe he's the long-lost Bush brother, Charlie May. That's why they never put him to death. They just kept him there to do his artwork. Wow, that's kind of weird. Well, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We heard there was a five-minute or so dropout from Liberty Tree Radio, but I got a call from Ed, and he says we're back up. The enemy's always trying to keep us off the air. So I welcome the Liberty Tree Radio folks, and thank you for calling in and telling him we were down. I thought you guys would be calling him, "Hey, that guy Dutch is off. Keep him off. We don't want to hear him anymore, that poo coming out of his face." So thank you very much. Sin City says he thought it was Hillary Clinton. That could have been Hillary Clinton after a long night of cigars or something. It would sound like it, but we don't want people to know. What else? Do you have any more of those of Charlie Manson where they sound like George Bush?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's play something there. Can you find one? It takes a little bit. Our computers are slow. Most of our computers we got out of the trash, except for the ones that were donated to us. Yeah, we did. Uh-huh. Well, yours is brand new. You got a brand spank.
Leave a sign to let the world know that you were there.
See, it sounds like George Bush with a little bit of slur. I bet if we took George Bush and slowed him down a little bit in editing, we could make him sound like Charlie Manson.
You know, a long time ago, being crazy meant something. Nowadays, everybody's crazy.
Yeah, you take out a few teeth, and that's how George Bush is going to sound. That's amazing. Ah, wow, I love it. Well, we're back, and I got another call for Minuteman over the break. We do take calls, we just can't put them on the air. There's a mismatch in impedance or resistance. I'm going to try and use terms here that make me sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I don't. When we hook the phone device, it's an actual commercially made broadcast quality phone box to the brand spanking new, the brand spanking new soundboard, they don't like to talk to each other. It starts cutting out like it's overdriving or something. I've turned it all the way down. I've yelled at it with my shirt off, and it doesn't seem to help anything. So we can't take phone calls right now, but I promise you, after the conference, I'm going to spend time working on it. And if I have to crack open a phone and just solder some wires or, you know, do a voodoo chant, I'll get Lou to do that, and we'll try and make it work. And I appreciate you guys calling in. I really do. Anyway, that whole thing led me down this huge rabbit trail. I'll let you know that Minuteman reminded me of something. One of the earlier conferences, we had a Trockman from the Militia of Montana come in, and I watched the video 2 or 3 years ago, and he was talking about camouflage. See, I'm not telling you nothing new. It's coming in from other people. I'm standing on the shoulders of others. We're all dipping our cups in the same stream of thought. We're building on what others before us have done. So Trockman came in, and he said, if you can't afford anything, if you want to blend in, especially in an urban environment, a good pair of faded jeans and a gray zip-up hooded sweatshirt with long sleeves with that hood. What a great type of camouflage. Think of especially like Red Dawn, the older brother in Red Dawn had that, the gray sweatshirt. You get a darker gray, you can walk around with it unzipped all day long. Nobody's going to notice you. You know, you go to your stash, grab your AK-47 and your fanny pack full of magazines, you're ready to go. And I guarantee you, faded jeans, you know, that aren't faded to the point where they're shiny and white, but, you know, faded blue jeans and a gray top, you can hide pretty well. Much better than wearing all black, I'm here to tell you. I went a little bit into that in the last half hour. It's good. And I'm glad it was reminded. As we were going over our training videos, as we're putting this video together, looking at some of the raw footage, you'll see some of our guys just show up with a pair of, blue jeans and a black t-shirt. That's all they have. They put their money into the weapon and the ammo and into the food and the backpack, and they're working on it. The good news is that there are going to be a whole lot of mobile supply pods out there when this thing sets off. There's going to be a lot of blue-helmeted mobile supply pods. And there's, you know, depending on who we're fighting, you know, whoever the enemy is, we're going to be able to take a lot of their gear. So when you shoot somebody about your size so you can wear their camouflage. You know, you always see it in the old movies, the war movies, where they're like, oh, his boots are mine, that kind of thing. But you have to be able to show up, have at least the minimal gear. And if that means a pair of high tops, some Daisy Duke cutoffs and a half shirt, if that's all you got, as long as you got a rifle, you know, you may be able to get some gear. Stacy's laughing. A little pink halter. You know, at least draw attention away from the soldiers if you're a female fighter, and then they can get you your gear for you. Sounds like something, Bugs Bunny would do. I don't know. It just popped into my head. Sometimes I build verbal bridges to nowhere, and I commit to them. As a wordsmith, I'm not going to let them go to waste, and I draw them to a conclusion that may not be all that appealing to the listening audience, but I still try. But use what you got. Be as wise as you can in applying it. Are you looking for some sound effect or something that you're going to play? You've got that look in your eye, Lou. I love it when he gets creative. He'll look for stuff. Let me know before you play it so I shut up and let the listening audience enjoy the art that is Lou.
It's not playing.
It's not playing? You're up. I've got you up. Is your volume up? Are you muted?
No.
Oh, it's probably dead, whatever it is. It's been banned on the internet. You're not allowed. It's not for public domain usage. We just found a Weird Al Yankovic song that we really like. It's about Charles Nelson Reilly. I don't know. How many of you remember Charles Nelson Reilly? Is nothing playing on yours?
There we go.
Oh, you're going to do a rim shot for me when I tell a joke? Thank you, Lou. The rim shots are back. He was trying to play these the other day. I think it was Friday when we were doing this Friday. Did we do a show Friday?
No, you weren't playing.
Yeah, I can't remember. My health has just been a huge basket of disappointment for me. Huh?
Tuesday,
yeah. It's like I've been experiencing a gazebo of setbacks.
Gazebo,
a gazebo of pain?
A bungalow.
A bungalow of pain. We heard somebody, who said that?
Thomas McConnell.
Carousel. Thomas McConnell.
A carousel of pain
is another good one. I love these descriptive words that have no right to be in the sentence, but yet they make sense. You know, a highway bypass of loneliness. You know, it's You try and create new vernaculars when you're involved in the word business, and then hopefully people remember you. So Thomas McConnell said a bungalow of pain.
In one of the conferences.
One of the conferences, yeah, that we were listening to. I wish Thomas McConnell could come back, but he's being laid siege. If those of you that are in Missouri, go to Rayville, Missouri, and look up Pastor Thomas McConnell and his church. The county, everybody's just giving him a world of grief. He's trying to do the same thing there that we're doing here, and they're coming after him. And there's been death threats. There's been all kinds of stuff. The media's been hounding him, and he's just under attack. If it weren't for being so far away, we'd be there, you know, defending him. But Thomas McConnell, Rayville, Missouri. Thomas McConnell in Rayville, Missouri. He comes out from time to time. He's got some great sermons that he gives. And what's funny about him is, I've said this before, when I was a teenager in Fort Collins, Colorado, he was a cop that every one of us feared. He's like 7 feet tall, 250 pounds. And when he got a hold of you, he wrung your neck. And fortunately, I was a runner, and he never got a hold of me, but I ran from him a few times. And he was polite. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I kind of remember that." I knocked him down one time. He was choking this kid out that was resisting, and I came flying out of a bush and bounced off of him. I didn't really knock him down. I just bounced. I weighed like 114 pounds.
You didn't learn about leverage?
I didn't learn about leverage. And then one time I got the chance to see him during a riot. Yeah, Colorado State University, this is after I got out of the Army and was going to college. There was a beer riot. They raised the drinking age to 21, so all the young drunks, in order to show their discourse in that and their dislike of the new law, got drunk and rioted. And so right in front of where I was working at Campus West movie theater, there were a bunch of people throwing bottles and attacking cars. And he took this one guy, and the guy just kept resisting. They pepper sprayed him, and I remember watching him 20 feet away. He took the guy and put his head in a mud puddle and just held him there until he stopped breathing and then pulled him out. Finally, the guy stopped shaking and fighting, and he's like, "Are you done?" "Yeah, I'm done," or some long-haired hippie type. That was when I got respect for him. And then here it is, 20-some years later, I run into the guy, almost 20 years later, and I'm like, "You're Thomas McConnell." Because when they said who he was, I go, that's too much of a coincidence, Thomas McConnell. And then when he came to one of our trainings, and I'm like, "You're Thomas McConnell. I remember you." He was like, "I don't," and I gave him my real name, and he goes, "I don't know. I arrested a lot of young punks." I said, "Really big blue mohawk? And I always wore like bright yellow Converse." He's like, "Oh yeah, you were in the Northern Hotel one time, and I surprised you, and you took off." He goes, "How'd you get away?" I go, I ran down a fire escape." But yeah, we had some really good talks after he realized who I was. And I asked him what made him stop being a cop, and he said, "All the corrupt cops." He goes, "I was rough and I was mean, but I was never corrupt." He goes, "I gave a beatdown to people who deserve beatdowns," which I could argue that back and forth with him, but some of the people I knew, he beat it down. I said, "See, public education, beat down, probably didn't deserve it." But he came to a realization, and that was because of his Christian beliefs, and now he's out there fighting for the good guys. So it's nice to see. You know, granted, it would be nice if the Christians would stay in the police force. I just don't see them able to do the kind of work that needs to be done anymore. I do have one article here that I want to get to before we disappear. Oh, I'm getting comments here. Let's see this. Oh, we got Mike listening down in Visalia, and he probably wants to tell me that I'm a big raging idiot, and he just agrees with some of the stuff I'm saying. Okay, thank you, Mike. We appreciate you listening, as always. Feel free to have input. You can get in the chat room. I know you're probably listening as a guest, but you can get in the chat room. Just if you know, Lou can walk you through signing in, but of course, if you're not in the chat room, he can't do that. Okay, where am I here? I got to go to this article. I couldn't believe this article. I think it was AP. I'll correct it if I'm wrong. What not to say to a police officer when you're pulled over? Was it Yahoo? Well, yeah, Yahoo's the venue, but whoever writes it. Was it Yahoo wrote it?
I think so.
Let's see. Let's look here. Maybe Lou's right. Wouldn't be the first time I was wrong and Lou was right. That's why I keep him around. He's my Rolodex. My memory chip is full, and we forgot how to delete some of the stuff off. So he's like my jump drive. I put all the stuff in Lou's head. Now it's not showing it. Oh, here we go. And this is from MarketWatch. So it was on Yahoo. It was from MarketWatch. What not to say to police when pulled over by a cop, you know, for speeding or whatever. In what he calls an educational video that's widely circulated on the YouTube, comedian Chris Rock offers advice on what to do when you get pulled over for a traffic violation. It's funny. I won't use some of the words that he's, you know, used in there. I'll, you know, you guys have seen it. Obey the law, he says. Stop immediately and stay in your car with your hands on the wheel. Finally, if your woman is mad at you, leave her at home. There's nothing she'd like to see more than you getting your butt kicked.
Get a white friend.
Yeah, get a white friend to ride with you. It was advice to black people that they're going to drive around. It's a dead-on spoof of Hard Truth. Respect authority. If you don't, you increase the odds of a pricey ticket. Here's where the brainwashing starts. If you don't bow down and kiss their boots, you're going to get a ticket. It has nothing to do with the fact that whether you're innocent or guilty, but if you kiss their butt good enough, you're not going to get a ticket. Everything in that video is absolutely true, said Sergeant Matthew Cope, K-O-E-P, of the South Plainfield, New Jersey Police Department. It's funny, but it's accurate. Citizens who are generally law-abiding are likely to come into contact with the police only under two circumstances. If you're a crime victim or if you get pulled over for a traffic violation. Or they come to take your kids. Police officers are not out to make your life miserable. But to make sure you're following the rules of the road and not endangering yourself or those around you. Thanks, Lou, for the rim shot. No, police officers are out to generate taxation illegally. That's what they're to do, through fees and fines. With a few exceptions, an egregious traffic violation is top among them. Cops aren't mandated to write tickets. Lie from the pit of hell. I was a reserve officer. I was an MP. Every time I went on the road and they said, are you taking out the radar detector? Make sure you write at least 5 tickets. And then the highway patrol here. I've got friends on the highway patrol in California. If you don't write a certain number of tickets, you're not eligible for overtime or special duties that make you tons of money. You don't get first choice on vacations. It's all a scam. With few exceptions, they say. But handle the situation with an aggressive or arrogant attitude, and you can expect to squeeze an expensive court date into your busy schedule. Yeah, right. So you're not willing to bow down to them, so they're going to pile stuff on. Play nice. First rule, don't argue. Never argue with a cop, because they're always right. I get this all the time, said Karen Retorno, a 9-year veteran of the Chicago Gestapo. What are you stopping me for? I didn't do nothing. If you try to take charge of the traffic stop, you're not going to get out of it without getting a ticket, she says. We ask the questions, not them.
Oh, you know what?
What arrogance is that? All we do is react to what people do when you pull them over, said Dennis Fanning, a homicide detective and veteran police officer with the Los Angeles Secret Service Police Department. We don't investigate the stuff, but we will react to you. The situation will escalate or de-escalate depending on how you react when contacted by police. So you know you're going 55 and they pull you over and say that you were waving or whatever, and you know you weren't. By bringing up the truth, you're wrong. Keep it honest. Don't lie either. Cops are trained to note the human characteristics of lying, including twitching and looking to the left. And they know the right questions to ask to suss out the truth. That's not, body language isn't always accurate. And if you're left-handed, you look to the right, by the way. A little nugget of truth there for you. Fanning estimates that 9 out of 10 people lie to him. It's an attack on your intelligence, he said. So like if you're going, officer, I wasn't speeding. What, I'm just a moron who pulled you over? Well, yeah. You are just a moron who pulled me over. Moreover, the truth can set you free. Cop recalled an incident when he pulled a young guy over for speeding. He looked straight at me and says, you know, officer, I wasn't even paying attention. I just had the best date of my life. I just met my future bride, and I'm just on cloud 9 right now. Now, granted, that kind of works. I've done that, but I don't know if it was that or the arson investigator sticker that was on my car on the dash. That may have got me out of the ticket, but I remember one Christmas Eve, I was shopping for my daughter, and I was driving in traffic in Riverside County, and this, Stacy, plug your ears, this very hot young female in a white pickup, the whole time we were playing cat and mouse through the traffic, stop and go, and she'd look over at me, and I'd give her, like, hey, how you doing? And I just assumed, you know, hey, she's hitting on me. Well, one of the third or fourth time that I did that, I rear-ended the guy in front of me.
Oh, no.
Bam, right into his pickup, you know, hit him with my Dodge Intrepid. So we both pull over, and then all of a sudden the female pulls over. And I'm like, hey, this is going to be worth it. I'm going to meet a nice-looking lady. Turns out the guy who pulled in front of me that I hit was her boyfriend on the other side of me, and she was making eyeballs at him. And so when the cop came, I told all three of them the truth, and they all laughed, and he let me go. He didn't write me a ticket for tailgating, you know, unattentive driving. He just said, were you on the cell phone? I said, no, I was checking out the girl in the pickup. He goes, what? I said, the white pickup. And I hit the green pickup, and they were like, well, they were boyfriend and girlfriend, and they were just, you know, both got off work, and they always converge right there at the 91-60 interchange. And I hit her boyfriend.
That's like a movie.
I know. It's like, yeah, it was, it's, you know, I like to share my embarrassment because it helps people realize that I'm just human. It was miserable. I mean, it did like $2,000 worth of damage to my car. Oh. Lesson here is drive a pickup. Dodging, you know, the insurance company was mad at me. But they go, oh, you're going to get a ticket. Never got a ticket, checked. And I said, the officer never wrote one. So he just thought, okay, he was honest with me and he told the truth. So maybe that's true. Let's give this article a little bit of due. The guy was completely serious, cop said. How are you going to write that guy up after that? Who makes that kind of stuff up? Okay. Of course, don't use pejoratives when addressing the police unless you're eager for a ticket. Those people that don't know, pejorative is like an insulting word or a racial slur. You know, don't act like Mel Gibson, okay? Don't bring up Zog. Don't talk about how reverse discrimination and everything's ruining your life.
How dare you use that slur?
Yeah, don't use a slur.
Now, I don't want to hear another word out of your intolerant mouth.
See, exactly. That must be the cop who pulled me over. Of course, so I get a lot of, I'm sorry, baby, I didn't mean it, sweetheart, she said. This is a female cop. I hate being called baby or sweetheart. I'm an officer to you. I have a gun. I was hired through affirmative action, and darn it, you better respect me. Uh-huh. Sounds like when Pelosi demanded to be called senator instead of ma'am, doesn't it?
I thought that Why was is it? Boxer.
Was it boxer? It was.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was boxer. Isn't it funny? And no insult to the ladies in the room. But you put a woman in a power of, in a position of authority. I ran into that in the military all the time. I had female sergeants that you couldn't just call them sergeant. They wanted sergeant first class. They wanted to be sergeant major. You know, they wanted first sergeant. They didn't. Hey, sergeant, can you give me a hand here?
Hey, except we're in Boondock Saints 2, and that chick was cool.
Boondock Saints 2. Which chick? I can't remember.
Detective chick?
Oh, the detective chick, yeah. Yeah, she was
Special
pretty cool.
Agent, yeah.
I need to watch that again. I only watched it once. The police don't like being talked over either. Be polite, said Chicago officer Mike Thomas. That's true. I would say that. Because especially here in California, you start yelling at a cop, the next thing is at the very least you're getting tased. If not pulled out of the vehicle by your hair and beaten and your family raped. Period. That's what's going to happen here. You yell at a cop. It goes back to our five words. I have nothing to say. Just take the ticket, fight it later. Go find some shyster lawyer to get you off on it. Why escalate the situation? They want to search your car.
Mm-hmm.
They, especially highway patrolmen, they're just terrible. I saw this great video from an EMT. An ambulance was going down the road in Oklahoma on Interstate 40, I think it was. And the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, which I have huge problems with, by the way.
Yeah.
I won't tell the story today. Pulled him over. Well, there was a woman in the back being rushed to the hospital. And the paramedic is like, are you nuts? Are you insane? I got a woman there. He goes, no, you must yield to me. I am Highway Patrol, which is not true. It is not true. An ambulance trumps police. I've run into this situation before in the fire department. We've been pulled over going to a fire because we were speeding by City of Riverside police. That happens. The EMT, who's in the back with the woman, because they're stabilizing her, comes out, and he's this really large black dude. And he gets into, a shoving match. And they put a chokehold on him and everything. Meanwhile, the son of the woman in the back of the ambulance is videotaping the whole thing on his phone. And ended up being lawsuits and everything. But it was funny. Once the highway patrolmen realized they were being videotaped, they left. But it's not good. Escalating with law enforcement, it's a no-win situation. Many states, the highway patrolmen have a panic button on their radio. And they hit that every cop within driving distance, drops their donuts, stops molesting the teenage girl behind the 7-Eleven that they're trying to impress, and rushes to the scene, because when that panic button goes off, it means one thing. We get to use deadly force and get away with it now, because officer down, officer needs assistance. It's the unwritten rule. Do not argue with cops. Don't pull the old, I pay your salary thing. We got a great old guy here who does that every time. He's about 85,000 years old. He's one of the law guys. We love him. But the reason he doesn't get dragged from his vehicle and beaten is he's 80,000 years old, and they don't want it. They don't want that. They just yes sir, no sir. I've seen it happen. I keep my mouth shut. I don't talk to him. Because I just okay. And I haven't been pulled over because I don't drive anymore. I have a driver, an official driver and bodyguard. That's Lou and Stacy. But when they pull us over, like when we got pulled over and the officer said, you were weaving, and I'm like, no, she wasn't. And he goes, I need to see your registration and all that.
You've been drinking.
And he just, it was 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. He was bored.
From the movie.
Driving movie.
Like popcorn.
We smelled like popcorn, so he probably wanted some. I'm hoping we had some Twizzlers to share.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't get into a fight with them. This is the nut of the story here. One of the officers says she assumes that everyone has a gun.
Oh.
I'm always on level 10 of intensity when I do this.
She wants to pull her again.
That's the point right there. Every one of you, even your grandma, are suspects and possible shooting victims from the police. Period. I don't care. I know people always tell me this. Hey, there's some good cops. What are your chances of finding one? You know, if you find one, they're not going to pull you over for doing something. If you run a stoplight, you're going 35 in a 15 school zone, you deserve a ticket, period.
Yeah.
You know, I'll defend the cops that do that kind of thing. The only thing I wrote tickets for were rolling through stop signs and training areas, speeding or around the school on base.
I see that all the time.
And when I was a civilian reserve officer in a little town called Nederland, if some guy comes through town and is, they had like Ferraris and all kinds of high-end and cars up there in the ski country, and they were going 60 through a 30, I pulled them over, period. Somebody's going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, I'd wave them down, tell them to slow down. And I had people yelling. The other thing I would write for was handicap violators, people that were misusing handicap placards. You know, somebody, well, it's my grandma's. Okay, let's wait for your grandma to come back. And then the guy would be like, well, she's not really here. Then you shouldn't be using it. Here's your ticket. And finally, the one thing that always made me mad in the Army, I only did this in the Army, was parking on the grass. There's always some jerk who would park on the grass, like at the community swimming pool or at the PX. They'd park on the grass to put their car under the tree. And I'm like, so it was only a $25 fine, you know. But I would write that ticket, you know. And I didn't have to see the guy. I'd just stick it on his windshield. They'd get all mad. They'd have to come to the provost marshal's office and, you know, pay their $25 fine. And if they didn't pay the fines, they'd lose their base privileges. They'd pull their you know, base pass from driving, and they'd have to get off at the front gate and walk in or have somebody pick them up. But there, you know, there are some reasons, you know, for safety. You got some idiot in a Japanese souped-up rice burner going 120 down the freeway. Yeah, I want the highway patrol to use the beanbags on that guy. But not, I still have it. I thought you were going to swerve. I've heard that before. They'll pull you over. Well, you had an out-of-state plate. Okay, so what does that mean? I got pulled over twice when I was in Virginia because I had Colorado plates.
I was actually
in Maryland at Fort George G. Meade. But, yeah, there's a lot of abuses out there. Wow, that went fast. Let me see. Where is everybody? Oh, there you are. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Experience. And thank you to Lou and Stacy and Debbie for helping the show move along. As always, tune in Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time and from 6 to 7 on Liberty Tree Radio. I think we're on Tuesdays again from now on there, too. I'm not sure, but hopefully that would be great. We do need your donations. You guys know what to do. Go to dutchjones.tk, DUTCHJONS.TK. There's a pitch in there. Somebody donated $25. Thank you. Makes it all worth it. It means I don't have to take food out of Lewis's mouth so that we can go on the air. Lou, say something about that. Just give us a whimper. Thank you, Lou. That was a good whimper. Good night to everyone, and I hope, Olimon, when you hear this on the repeat, I hope you're okay. We miss you. I know you like to get in and do it, but it will loop again, so if you missed the first hour, if you just jumped in with Liberty Tree Radio, you can go to dutchjones.tk, and you can find us there, and it'll start playing. Thank you to my pod people and my pod peeps for downloading. Thank you to the people on Facebook. There were only a few of you today, but thank you so much. MySpace, I know I neglect you. I don't mention you enough. Thank you to Scotty and his listeners out there in New York over CB Channel 2. Thank you to the folks on Shortwave who are listening all around the world, and to the people that are downloading and trading the shows. Keep it up. I am humbled by the fact that you guys want to do this and share what I'm blurting out over the air. I am truly humbled. Check us out tomorrow. We'll talk more about the conference. We'll be back. God bless you. And remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord alone. Good night, and God bless.